So, will it be skiing? Or Christmas markets on a city break? Skiing or a city break? Some problems are good problems to have. Especially with flights this winter from £29.99 one way and package holidays from £159 per person. Get booking at easyjet.com. Selected dates, holidays, adult protected based on 2 adults for 3 nights. Travel restrictions and T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
I never noticed the drums before on that. I don't know why, because I don't normally fire that one, do I? That normally kicks in. So I point at Keith, he presses something, and then it goes. Can I get that as my ringtone? Or no, why not? Can I get that as my message alert? I'm going to get that sorted. Sorry, I probably should have done that off air. Right, Mystery Hour is underway, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available on your radio dial. If you're texting me asking about whether or not our call with David a moment ago is going to be clipped up and posted on the website, save yourself tenpence. It already has been. Head over to lbc.co.uk or the LBC Twitter site to get hold of Bacteria Boy. But other questions now are welcome. If you have a mystery that needs solving, there is almost certainly somebody listening to this programme who will be able to solve it for you. All you've got to do is get your question on the board, 0345 6060 973. Sit back, put your feet up, maybe light a pipe, and wait for satisfaction. Mystery Hour board game. Okay, Christmas. Still time to get it delivered in time for Christmas. If you thank you, yes, thank you. It's a brilliant game. I people have started buying it early. I think people have started opening their Christmas presents early. But I'm always slightly disturbed isn't quite the right word. By people are surprised by how good the game is. It's not some sort of tacky sort of spin off. It's a brilliant game in its own right. It just happens to have been spawned by the radio magnificence that is Mystery Hour. So if you want to get hold of that board game for Christmas, then get over to mysteryhour.co.uk and order it now. Or make the best contribution of the day to this week's Mystery Hour. That's the only other way you can... Well, no, that's not true. You can go to John Lewis or indeed Amazon. But generally speaking, for the purposes of theatre, I'll say the only other way you can get it is by being the best contributor of the week. And of course, my decision is final. You can find the full terms and conditions at lbc.co.uk, but the promise remains the same. It is your only opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. Shall we crack on? Let's crack on. Willa is in Kilmarnock. Willa, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
My question is, why don't you get big variations in size between animals of the same species?
How do you mean?
So, for instance, you don't get a tall pigeon, do you?
It's relative, though. I imagine it's relative, because pigeons are all, I mean, to you, they're all small. But if you were a pigeon, there'd be big pigeons and little pigeons. You'd be like, flipping, hey, he's a big lad. But we wouldn't even notice, because the incremental difference between a medium-sized pigeon and a particularly large pigeon would be barely noticeable. You do get big you do get big differences in size between different species.
No, but you see, I'm 12, and I've got a twin sister, and yeah. She only comes up to my shoulders. So why don't you get... You see, there's two... Imagine you have two Labradors.
Yes.
One of them's not taller than the other, is it? They're all the same size.
But they're not, though. They're not, though, Willa.
They are. They're not taller than one another. Yeah,
of course they are. You have dogs that are different heights, even if they're the same breed.
No, but you don't. If two Labradors...
I'm glad you told me you were 12. I'm glad you told me you were 12, because I was about to start getting quite robust at this point. But as you're 12, I'm not going to reach for some of my ruder responses at this point, Willa, because that would be entirely inappropriate. But you definitely get dogs that are taller than other dogs.
Yes, but if they're the same species, that's the thing. You don't get two tall lions, do you?
You do.
They're the same size.
You have different sized lions in the same pride.
No, it might be depending.
Usually, the biggest lion becomes the head of the pride until he gets old and doddery, and then someone else, and another lion comes along and takes over, and it's going to be the most physically complete lion, because he beat all the other lions in a fight. So that there are physical differences. including height. Or less obviously, perhaps, than if you've got a very tall person standing next to a very short person. But there are physical differences that define, superiority, physical superiority.
Well, yes, but you don't get two tall pigeons. I've never seen a tall pigeon in my life.
How hard have you looked?
Well, there's lots of pigeons in Glasgow.
Yeah, and how many of them, Willa, have you or your sister measured?
I haven't measured any of them.
Well, exactly. Ha ha! Until you start measuring pigeons, get back to me with the measurements.
Okay, I'll try.
I don't believe that all pigeons in Glasgow are exactly the same height. I can't believe I'm having this conversation. I've understood your question. I could be wrong. I mean, obviously, I would be considerably ruder if Willa was older, but I'm not going to be, because usually when I'm rude about questions, it's me that ends up looking like a giblet a little later in proceedings. But I am almost certain that if you found me 100 pigeons, there would be a tallest one and a shortest one, and 98 in between. I could be wrong. The phone lines are open. George is in Wigan. George, question or answer?
Hello, James.
Hello,
there's a question.
Carry on.
Why are four-letter words and swearing offensive?
I like that question. I mean...
They're only words.
They are only words, as Ronan Keating once famously sang. We begin with blasphemy, don't we? So we begin with words that were offensive, supposedly to God or to believers. So we know that bit, but we're thinking really of the Anglo-Saxon words, aren't we, for bodily functions or excretions.
That's what I thought it might be.
Don't say which ones, Keith. You know how Ofcom works better than I do. At least I hope you do. I hope one of us does. So when did they become offensive?
Probably when the Normans came.
Why'd you say that?
Well, they tried to change the language to French, but it didn't last.
But then all Anglo-Saxon words would be offensive, not just the offensive ones.
Yes, that's true enough, yes.
I don't know. I like the question. Forgive me for asking this, George, you don't have to answer. Are you quite fond of a bit of an Anglo-Saxon expletive yourself?
No, I never swear. In fact, I was talking to an old friend that I met after 80 years. And
80 years?
We grew up together.
And then you lost touch for 80 years?
Yes.
That must have been a remarkable reunion.
It was, actually. It was through Facebook, as usual.
Good grief.
And one thing I said to him, Eric, we never swore when we were teenagers.
No.
And we never did. And I don't know.
And Eric said, no, I can't do that on the radio because Keith hasn't got the bleep ready, George. But I was going to do a rubbish joke at that point, pretending that Eric swore back at you, going, "Oh my goodness, you're effing right." But that would have been entirely inappropriate and not even very funny. And anyway, we haven't got the bleep. I shall find out for you. When did Anglo-Saxon non-blasphemous swearing become offensive? When or why? I love that question. Thank you, George. Regards to Eric. It's 12:17.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
18 minutes after 12. Get Susie Dent on to answer your swearing Mystery Hour question. Certainly not. That's not how Mystery Hour works. But Susie will be joining me on Full Disclosure in the new year. So if we haven't got an answer by then, I shall probably run it by. Well, I won't, will I? I'll almost certainly forget. But, you know, it's a nice thought while it lasts. 19 minutes after 12 is the time. Why don't you get tall pigeons? It's on the board, respectfully. But you do, I think, is the answer. It's just Willa, I sense, needs slightly more compelling proof. What was the other one? I've written nothing down, Keith. I got all distracted by the interest rate news. Oh, and of course, we've got the George's question about swearing. So is that it? Just pigeons and swearing? That's all we've got at the moment. And that is Willa, and that was George. Have to keep an eye on the leading contenders for this week's Mystery Hour Board Game Prize. And I've just checked on delivery times. At the moment, it's taking between 2 to 5 days for the Mystery Hour Board Game to be delivered, which leaves you plenty of wriggle room between now and Christmas. And customers report it's actually closer to 2 days than it is to five. But that's the current service over at mysteryhour.co.uk. The way the game works, I'll tell you later. Don't let me forget. Rennie's in Chesterfield. Rennie, question or answer?
Hi, James. I have a question for you. First of all, though, can I just wish you and everyone at LBC a very happy Christmas and all the best for the new year?
Yes, but...
but my question is...
No, there's always... You put me inside... But no one else has to do that now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. There is something weird about radio phone-ins that if a caller does something, it prompts something of an avalanche of identical behaviour. So, for example, if someone says, first-time caller, long-time listener, in the first hour of the show, we'll probably get four or five other people saying the same thing in the rest of the show. But if no one says it in the first hour of the show, we'll only get one or two, if that, in the rest of the show. And you've now gone in, what's the date today? On the 15th, 10 days out from Christmas, you've gone in, I just want to wish... So and now I have to be the bloke who's saying to people, don't wish me a Merry Christmas, which makes me sound like some sort of Grinch, doesn't it?
Well, I only got to the 3rd of December with me Whamageddon.
Well, yes. Well, I messed that up last year as well. I apologise for that. So, I mean, Merry Christmas, one and all. There is no need to wish anybody else a Merry Christmas on this programme ever. Until next Christmas.
I should consider myself admonished.
No, you're not admonished. You're not admonished because someone has to do it. And it's nice that you did it. And I wish you a Merry Christmas as well, but you've done it now. You've broken the seal, Rennie.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Where were we? Question or answer?
I have a question for you, James.
Yes.
I want to know which is heavier, still or sparkling water?
Depends how much you've got. Pathetic. Sorry. As in, you've got a litre of still water and a litre of sparkling water.
I don't know if a litre would be enough because I think the difference would be negligible on a litre.
Good point.
I think, you know.
All right, you've got a thousand litres then. A kilolitre. Or whatever it is. Yeah, okay. Is there any difference in weight? Why? I mean, because what's heavier, water or air? Water. So therefore, we presume that the water with more air in it is going to be a bit lighter than the water without any air in it.
That's what we presume.
It's carbon dioxide, isn't it? Not air.
Yeah, it's carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide. All right, you're on.
I think carbon dioxide's heavier than air as well. I'm not sure.
Controversial.
Mm.
Well, then it would all sink to the ground. And you could die by crawling. You could. Babies would be in all sorts of trouble.
Well, you could, yeah.
Okay, you're on. Swear heavy water. Not heavy water. God, that's a completely different thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, God, I don't even know what it is. So heavier. What's heavier, still or sparkling? I ask a waitress. do you want still or sparkling? That? What's heavier? Whatever's lighter. You're on. Carry on. And Rennie.
Happy New Year, mate.
God, he beat me at my own game. I hate it. 23 minutes after 12. Tom's in Romsey. Tom, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
In American culture, I see it on the American TV programmes or American film, they always seem to bring their groceries home in paper bags.
They do.
They do. And they always seem to be struggling when they're going up the steps and things. Why don't they use carrier bags like we tend to do when we go shopping? I think is my question.
Or is it merely a depiction on film that doesn't carry on into
real American society
life? But you always seem to be using paper bags instead of plastic bags, and it's not.
Yeah. But they don't have handles on them. They seem to struggle with them, especially when they're going up steps.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's anything to do... I thought maybe it's something to do with recycling. You know,
seems unlikely. We're talking about America.
It is. And I see it in depictions of films going back to the 40s, 50s, so it wasn't even an issue then.
No. I mean, no, that makes sense then, because there wasn't the option to change. I don't know. We need some experienced American grocery shoppers, don't we?
We do.
Well, leave it with me.
Use carrier bags. It would be a lot easier, especially when you're climbing stairs.
Yep, thank you very much. It would be. No, I like it. It's a good question. I mean, if the parameters of the question are true, it'd be fascinating to find out. And if the parameters of the question aren't true, that will also be fascinating to find out. So it's win-win. Paper bags, heavy water, swear words, and tall pigeons. Tall pigeons probably out of all of those sounds most like a band. Don't you think? Or heavy water. Heavy water or the tall pigeons? Who's going to get the number one hit this Christmas? Heavy water or the tall pigeons? I'm a tall pigeons fan myself. Andy's in Brighton. Andy, question or answer?
Oh, hello, James.
Hello.
I have a question, please.
Carry on.
Well, it's about dogs.
Well.
Dogs love fetching sticks.
How tall is your dog? How tall is your dog?
I haven't got a dog.
Well, why are you phoning in about dogs?
I'm in love with lots of dogs. No. It's a legitimate question.
All right, then. I'll be the judge of that. Yes.
Why? Why are some dogs determined to fetch massively disproportionately big sticks and run with them? What is it in their psychology that makes them do that?
Obvious.
Because there are certain dogs... Is it obvious? Yeah. Why is it obvious?
They're going to build a shelter.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Getting all Bear Grylls on it. Right. I don't know.
No, that's a bear.
Does it inflate their egos or something? Is there something in the psychology of a dog?
So you sometimes see a dog with an enormous stick.
Massive sticks, yeah. Why is that?
I know, it's not many dogs.
Some of them do it, and they do it habitually, though.
No, I know they do, but it's not... It stands out when a dog does it.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
so that's why.
Which makes it more interesting. It makes it a better question, because it's obviously not... I mean, something common to all dogs. Not all dogs do it. And it's relative as well, because a tiny dog would pick up what would be quite a big stick for a tiny dog, but not a big stick for a big dog.
Some of them do.
But when you see a dog with an enormous stick, it's quite jarring.
Well, it is quite jarring, but it's really funny, especially watching them trying to go through gates.
That's precisely what I was thinking of, but I didn't want to give away that those are the kind of videos I spend my time watching now on social media.
By the way, if I can change subject...
Don't wish me a happy Christmas, Andy. Don't wish me a happy Christmas. Don't wish me a happy Christmas, Andy.
I'm going to say, I just listened to your interview with Gabor Maté on your podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. He's a legend. And you are a brilliant interviewer.
Thank you so much.
I just want to say thank you for that.
What a lovely thing to say. Thank you, Andy. I didn't have to do much in that interview, actually. I mean, generally, I don't. If you never listen to Full Disclosure, you barely recognise me. I often don't get a word in edgeways. But Gabor Maté is a visionary man. I've had messages suggesting that interview as an introduction to Gabor Maté has actually changed lives. Andy, thank you. Why do some dogs obsess about enormous sticks? 0345 606 8973. Why do American grocery stores only use paper bags? Why what's heavier, still water or sparkling water? Why are swear words offensive, and when did they become offensive? And why aren't there any tall pigeons? Steve's in Rugby. Steve, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Nice to meet you at last, by the way. Nice to have a Thursday off for a change.
Oh, lovely stuff. Thank you. Nice to meet you too. Well, we've met before.
James,
we've met before, because we meet every day on the radio. But I know what you mean.
I know. Fair enough. Virtually, whatever we like to call it.
Direct.
James, I'm after a collective noun.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah. So science has a collective name for most things. There's one I cannot find for things that go through you. So I'm talking about nails on blackboard. Some people, it's wet tea bags feel.
Is it?
Squeaker polystyrene.
Is it?
Yeah,
wet
apparently.
Tea bags.
Yeah, I remember somebody with that. For me, it's the sound of a spade on wet concrete when you're trying to put that together. Stuff that goes through.
Do you know what
you,
I hate? I'll tell you what gets me.
Go on.
Cutlery on quite grainy plates.
Yeah, bottom of the saucepan.
No, the plates. Oh. And we've got a couple in our cupboard. And I keep putting them to the back of the cupboard. And someone, I mean, there's only three people in my house, and only one of them takes much of an interest in crockery, apart from me. Someone keeps pushing them back. And do you know what I'm going to... I don't know if I should say. Let me just check the time and see if there's any chance that they're listening. Because I'm doing Christmas dinner this year, when we'll need all our plates. And I am going to smash those two plates, mate, before Christmas.
You could use them as serving things.
No. I'm having it. I'm smashing them. I am smashing them. And then I will pretend it was an accident.
You see, at the moment, they go through you.
They go through me like you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe.
Well, I must have a collective noun for this, James.
So you mean that kind of type feeling?
Yeah, it's not a phobia.
No, definitely not a phobia. No, you don't like
it. It must be a thing.
You don't like it, but you're not terrified of it or anything like that.
No, but it really gives you a visceral reaction.
Great word.
Physically.
It is visceral, I think, literally visceral. You're on, and there must be a word for it. No, I don't know if it's a collective noun as such. It might just be a descriptive.
Yeah.
Adjective.
But I've never been able to find one. I've not asked the right question of Google in several years, on and off trying. So somebody must be out there.
I like it a lot. Let's find out. Is there a word for those things that set your teeth on edge? There you go. You need a better word than set your teeth on edge. Is there a single word to describe? Like for many people, fingernails on a blackboard. For some people, scratchy plates, cutlery on a... You know what I mean, don't you? You've got really smooth plates. I love a smooth plate. And then you've got bumpy plates, like grainy plates. Cutlery on a grainy plate. It's like sunshine on a rainy... No, Mike's in the Wirral. Mike, question or answer? I will find out after the headlines with Amelia Cox.
At Honda, we've never looked to other car companies for inspiration. No, it's not a matter of an inflated ego. We just prefer listening to what people really need. For example, the Honda Jazz Hybrid doesn't have the expected 6 airbags. It has 10, including one that prevents the driver and passenger from colliding with each other. And because we also listen to our conscience, all our safety features come as standard. No charge. Honda, the power of dreams.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
12:32 is the time. It falls to me to share with you the news that the phones have gone down. And engineering are currently in the studio trying to fix them. Now, ordinarily, this is not a major disaster on this programme, because as a fully paid-up member of the Steve Allen fan club, I am more than happy, and anyone who has ever witnessed any of my so-called monologues will attest to this, I'm more than happy to continue speaking and pontificating without any interruption. I mean, without any phone calls from my cherished listeners. Mystery Hour's a bit different. So you can, at the moment, you can successfully ring in, and I think we can successfully answer the question. No? Answer the call, not the question. But we can't get anyone who's rung in onto the air. Is that what's happening here? I'm communicating with Keith and Eleanor mostly through mime. Well, they're miming. I'm talking. Well, you know I'm talking because you can hear me. This is the kind of content you get when the phones aren't working. James O'Brien on LBC. You know I'm talking because you can hear me. And if I haven't been sufficiently hoisted by my own petard, you'll remember that I have quite a strict rule normally about texts and emails. Okay, I'm gonna. If you're up for this, I'm up for this. I can't take calls by text or email. So I've had a suggestion from one of the few people that I would put in the same category as Steve Allen when it comes to broadcasting legendary status. Chris Evans has just texted me to say, just get people on who know you to call your personal mobile number and put them on speaker. Simples. But what are you going to have, a question or an answer? I don't know. Are you going to ring me? Have we got it fixed now? I'll try this. I'm going to try Emily. Emily is in Liverpool. Emily, question or answer? You'll forgive me. I have to keep an eye on my phone in case Chris Evans rings.
No, that's absolutely fine. Anything answer, please?
She's on. I can hear her. Hallelujah. It's fixed. We're back. It's okay. Quick answer, please, Emily. Carry on.
It's an answer, yes. It's for the question regarding sounds that cause like a visceral feeling of horrible.
Yes.
Basically, it's called misophonia.
Misophonia.
Misophonia. And yeah, it's the way your brain processes sound and sort of nerve pain. So I have a condition called fibromyalgia and also a condition called ADHD. Oh. And both of those things have visceral connections where your brain misreads signals. And so in certain sounds, your brain misreads the signal for a pain sound, a pain feeling. So a sound such as a nail on a chalkboard,
yes,
or someone chewing loudly next to you, that can cause a feeling of actual physical pain or revulsion in you, because it's the way your brain interprets the signals. It's basically a misfiring of signals within the brain that causes a kind of,
So I might be discomforted by them. That would still be misophonia, but you will be actually physically hurt by them. They will feel painful to you.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, you poor thing.
Naturally. I mean, it is not too bad. I've got worse things going on. But
that's very philosophical. That's very philosophical of you, but I understand what you mean. That's a great word. Is it a PH or an? It'd be a PH, wouldn't it? Because it's Greek for sound. So misophonia. God, well, that's a beautiful answer, Emily. What are your qualifications? The condition that you describe, is that why you know?
I've had it my whole life. My brother used to get really enjoy making really horrible sounds. I'd get really really sick feeling over, and everyone would just laugh at me, think, what is this behave? It's just
a little shyster. Wait, you mean so you would actually suffer and he would go around making noises designed to make you suffer?
Oh, yeah, everyone would.
What a terrible, terrible brother. All right, you're on. There's nothing in what you describe that would prevent you from enjoying the Mystery Hour board game, is there?
I don't think so, no. Good. No, as long as it doesn't make any sort of chewing sounds, I think I'll be absolutely fine.
No, okay. I just need to be clear on that. I'm not making any promises, Emily. I just checking. Just round of applause. And you'd be all right with a round of applause sound, would you?
Of course, that'd be absolutely lovely.
Fantastic. 12:37 is the time. What a lovely answer. Misophoning. It's a misophoning. There's a misophoning about misophonia. Mike's on the Wirral. Mike, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
Right, it's in relation to the bags in America and the grocery stores.
Yeah.
My daughter lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and my wife and I spend quite a lot of time over there. And, of course, we do the grocery shopping at places like Giant Eagle and whatever.
Of course.
And when you do go there, they always say, would you like paper or would you like plastic?
They're Welsh, are they, these shoppers?
Indeed.
Such an old joke, but it's one of my favourites. My dad always used to do that one. Has that always been the case? Is that, I mean,
it certainly has, and my daughter and son-in-law, they don't like waste or anything.
So they always go for paper, but they're always paper. And if you're not carrying it, you're just going straight in the boot of the car, which is more common in America, isn't it?
Then
the plastic bag doesn't have anything like the same sort of value that it has in the... Yeah, I like that, and that'll do. I mean, it may be that someone with even more experience of American shopping will ring in to add to the question, but that must be the thrust of it. And your qualifications are, I've done a lot of shopping in America.
Giant Eagle.
Giant Eagle. Round of applause for Mike, please. Thank you, Mike. Shahid is in Hounslow. Shahid, question or answer?
James, it's a question.
Excellent.
And season greetings to you. I suppose that's one way.
No. Have we had the story yet? Have we had the story yet about somebody claiming that you're not allowed to say Happy Christmas anymore, usually because an organisation has issued instructions reminding us that some people aren't Christian and therefore they might prefer Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings, and everyone pretends they're trying to ban Christmas? Has that story happened yet this year? Have we seen it?
Yeah, I've had the corporate emails, yeah.
It's already come through. Anyway, where were we?
Right, so I went for a bit of winter sun, James, in St. Lucia in the Caribbean for a couple of weeks.
No, next caller, please. I'm not having that. That's out. that's just jealousy provoking.
No. You like the next bit.
All right.
I was ravaged, absolutely ravaged by mosquitoes while I was there.
Good.
And on the flight back, I was still itching on the flight back.
Yeah.
As soon as I landed in the -3 of London Gatwick,
yeah,
all of the itches went. And I've been wondering for the last day why none of them. I mean, I'm telling you, it was off-puttingly itchy.
Yeah, I know how itchy a bunch of bites can be.
Yeah, and now not even the slightest. I've tried scratching them.
Yeah,
and it just feels like scratching a normal bit of skin. So,
did you get them? But the red blotches are still there, are they?
Yeah, they're still there. It's just not
itching at all. And you've warmed up. You've warmed up. You've got the heating on at home, have you, or at work?
Not really.
So have you been cold? When did you get back?
I got back yesterday. I've been cold pretty much ever since.
That's going to... I'm doing some science now, Shahid. I'm doing science on the radio, mate, you see.
Go on.
That is I'm trying to think about the variables. So the only thing that's changed is the temperature. Yeah.
It has.
So in cold weather, the colder it is, the less your mosquito bites itch. That's my thesis.
That's the thesis.
Yes.
What's the science behind it? Do you know?
Because
surely it's like a chemical that's gone into meat or something. Yes. Or a. So why? I don't know.
Well, your skin it becomes less sensitive in cold weather, as we know. You become numb.
Could be. Could well be.
In order to protect you from frostbite, perhaps?
Yeah, well, in the current climate. And the change as well. It's about 35-degree temperature differential.
And the rest. So an unexpected side effect of our evolutionary protections against excess cold is that our mosquito bites don't itch. But very few people have discovered this because they don't move often from very hot places where there are lots of mosquitoes to very cold places where there aren't.
Do you reckon? There must be a little bit more to it, James.
All right, Einstein. I'll try and find out for you. But I think that's actually a pretty good answer, Shahid. All considered. Also, I mean, what else could it be? And because you've got, how long were you in St. Lucia for?
2 weeks.
So you've got 2 weeks' worth of bites, have you? They didn't all happen on the same day.
Do you know what? Weirdly, they kind of, they all happen in the same 2-3 days.
Well, then they might just have reached their natural expiry date at the same time.
Some of them happened recently, I would say.
Quite convenient, if coincidental, if they had. All right, I'll find out. Why don't Shahid's mosquito bites itch since he got home? They were itching right up until the moment the plane doors opened. I embellished a bit there for just because I'm a natural storyteller, you see. 0345 606 0973. Marion's in High Wycombe. Marion is not in High... Oh, no, don't tell me the phones have gone again. Or maybe she had it. Did she get nervous or of the phone? I can't do this. Phone lines are absolutely full. And inevitably, I'm not showing off. They generally are, but especially on... there we go. Let's try Sherry first and then Reg. Sherry's in Putnam Valley, New York. Question or answer,
no.
Sherry?
I'm actually in Westchester County, New York, which is right near Putnam Valley, New York.
The telephone exchange must come up as Putnam Valley, Sherry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No. What do you do
anyway,
now?
I'm Carry calling.
On. Question or answer?
I'm calling. It's an answer about the plastic, about the bags, the
Fantastic.
Shopping bags.
Yeah. You're not Welsh, are you?
No, but my husband's English, so I'm a New Yorker from the Bronx.
I know you are. I can tell. Carry on.
Oh, I'm calling because, just to let you know, that depending on where you live, there's different policies. I live an hour north of Westchester County, and of New York City, and we have to bring our own bags to go shopping.
They don't have any now. No bags at all in the stores.
Well, they do. You have to. They have plastic bags that you can buy for 5 cents.
Oh yeah, no, we're the same here now. Actually, you don't get free bags at all. But you don't even get free paper bags.
Well, no, the only time you get paper bags is if you shop from home and you go to collect them. And they do have handles.
Okay, well, you're on the... I mean, I thought this would happen, that there would be various different answers to this question. But I'm not sure that Tom has received an answer to the question he originally asked, which is, when we watch American shows on TV, the bags are always paper.
Well, you know, I kind of liken that to the thought that everyone here thinks that England is still in fog.
So it is just a sort of rose-tinted, nostalgic kind of memory.
Yes, when I was growing up, we had paper bags without handles and things like that.
So we're just thinking back to programs like Happy Days.
Correct. Absolutely. Back in Happy Days time, they did have paper bags with no handles. Although I have to tell you, in all my life growing up, I never dropped a paper bag.
Well, I suppose you're more careful with them, aren't you? Because you know that they're paper. I like it. Qualifications, you are American and you go shopping a lot.
I most certainly do.
That'll do. That'll do nicely. How long have you been listening did your husband introduce you to LBC, Sherry?
No. I taught over in England years and years ago, and then I happened upon your aunt 5 or 6 years ago, and I get up every Thursday to listen to your Mystery Hour.
That's fantastic. I mean, that is wonderful. That's wonderful news. Unfortunately, by dint of not being in the UK, you don't get to enter the competition to win a board game.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, it's not really. I mean, it would have been lovely, I think, to reward your loyalty with a little gift like that. But I just need to warn you now that the terms and conditions are very strict about this.
Well, could you send it to my sister-in-law?
If you win, maybe. But now we've said it on the radio, we'll probably get into trouble with the board game police.
Oh, I won't do that.
Have a round of applause. No, have a round of applause in the meantime.
Thank you.
I'll see you
it's
next Thursday.
To speak to you.
It's always it's lovely to talk to you, Sherry, and I shall talk to you again next Thursday. If not in person, then in radio waves. 12:45.
If you're worried that your mortgage payments could go up, it's helpful to know that you can arrange to switch your Barclays mortgage up to 180 days before your current one ends. One way you can do this is in the Barclays app. Your new rate will then apply as soon as your existing rate expires. Simple. For more money help, including other ways to switch your mortgage, search Barclays Cost of Living. Barclays. Make money work for you. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:49, you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Why do you not see tall pigeons? When did swear words become offensive? What's heavier, still water or sparkling water? Why do dogs, some dogs, a relatively small number of dogs, fetch enormous sticks, pick up enormous sticks? And why did Shahid's mosquito bite stop itching when he got back to the UK from St. Lucia? I started watching White Lotus last night. Everyone told me to watch White Lotus, so no spoilers, please. And my apologies yesterday. Someone complained that I gave a spoiler about how King Lear ends. I mean, Stephen's in Borehamwood. Stephen, question or answer?
I have an answer for you, James.
Carry on, Stephen.
And I do think that the guy who asked this question gave you his season's greetings, so I say Grinchy greetings and bah humbug.
Carry on.
Sorry, so carbonated water is heavier than still water, so sparkling's heavier than still, and simply because with weight, its density and mass equals your weight, and if you take a litre of water and you add something to it, in this case carbon dioxide, you've made it more dense. If you've made it more dense, you've made it more massive, and therefore you've given it more weight. So whether it's a litre or 10,000 litres, sparkling water is heavier than still water.
Well, well, well. Qualifications?
Just an A-level in physics, but...
When did you do that?
Oh, God, I'm 48 now, so 30 years ago.
1992.
Yeah, that's it.
Crikey. It still counts, and it sounded clever. I was really bad at physics. Really bad at physics.
No, it's maths, physics and economics A-level.
Ooh, get you. It's earned you a round of applause. So finally, it's paid off.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love it when, Mr. Yeah, I've forgotten what some of the questions are and I start getting weird texts. I don't understand what they're coming in for. So an itchy jumper itches more in the heat, James. And what? Oh, the mosquitoes question. But then you think, why are you wearing a blooming great woolly jumper if it's hot, you silly sausage? 51 after 12 is the time. And I like this one. The question about the bags. A sound man has been in touch to tell us that it actually plastic bags make play havoc with the microphones, you see, if you're filming TV or news, and therefore paper bags. I've lost it, so I can't read out the fella that sent it in. I do apologise. I'll try and find it. The fact that the paper bags have a sound based rationale. Tim's in Mansfield. Tim, question or answer?
It's a question, James. I think we're both the same 1972 vintage, although yeah. I think you're slightly my senior.
Okay. Well, I was born very early in 1972, so the odds are on my side.
Okay. To do with, it's a bit of a confession, I suppose. Back in the day, I used to record the top 40 of a Sunday evening on Radio 1 onto a C60 or a C90.
Me too.
And
not all of it, though. Not all of it. Not all of it. I'd sit there with my fingers hovering over record and play, and then I'd push them down when a song I liked came on.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm. My understanding was it was illegal to do so. If it was anybody ever prosecuted for it?
Why do you think it was illegal to do so?
Because that was...
Because of copyright.
Yeah, but then you could record... If you had a Betamax or a VHS, you could record Top of the Pops, couldn't you?
So, yeah.
But my understanding was it was illegal.
Yeah, I never know whether it was illegal or not. I mean, if you then broadcast it would be illegal, certainly. But to actually just keep your... I think I remember now, actually. People did used to say that you weren't allowed to do it, didn't they?
Mm. And then, that was my understanding.
I suppose the later arrival of video and Betamax changes the game, so this kind of copyright protection has to evolve because recording... I don't know. So did anyone ever get prosecuted for recording the top 40? But with a side order, which I don't normally allow, but I will on this one because it's personal. With a side order of, was it actually illegal? Because if it wasn't illegal, no one's ever going to have been prosecuted for it. I'm clever like that.
Yeah.
Right, you're on. Top four car blank. Can you remember the first ones you recorded?
I remember David Bowie, Red Shoes, Let's Dance, I think.
So you got. I only got a machine when I was about 11 or 12. I didn't have a machine when I was that young.
No. I can't remember exactly.
The first two songs I recorded off the radio when my machine was brand new were Living in the Love of the Common People by Paul Young and Uptown Girl by Billy Joel.
Madness was a big favourite of mine.
Yeah. Next door were much younger than Mum and Dad. They didn't have kids or anything. And I used to wash their cars for pocket money. And they had so many tapes, Tim. And I asked, they were a lovely couple. I asked, wish I could remember their name. And he lent me all his tapes and he had them all because he was like a grown up with wages and he could spend as much money as he wanted on tapes. I thought that was just the most magical thing when I was about 11 or 12. And he gave me every tape he had. I recorded every single one of them. I asked for a 10 pack of C90s. For one of my birthday presents, then recorded, or even a 20-pack, I think, and I recorded everything he had in his cassette collection in his car. Oh, my Matsui, that was a bit later. That was when I had the Matsui tape-to-tape from Curry's.
From Curry's, yeah.
Happy days. Happy days. You're on, I shall find out. Was it illegal? And if so, is it too late for Tim to be taken to court for it? 03456060973, because I've got a confession. I was making it up. I was luring him in. I never taped anything off the. Oh no, 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 no. But if yeah. Michelle's in Swansea. Michelle, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's about the stick with the dog.
Yeah, the big stick and the little dog.
Yeah.
Or just the giant stick relative to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a dog sees a stick as a trophy.
Right.
Hence, well, the bigger the stick, obviously he's got a bigger trophy, but also as a means, so that raises his status by having a trophy, also by getting attention.
Is it only dogs that have that do a lot of fetching that see sticks as trophies? It's like they're taught that a stick is a trophy by the owners that play fetch with them.
No. It's their language. It's their, him that man mentioned psychology. It is the language of a dog. So all dogs use toys as trophies or means of getting attention to raise their status. It's their innate language.
I like it.
It goes, yeah.
So the dogs that do this, because it's not all of them, a lot, I mean, I'm talking about really big sticks. Are they alpha dogs?
It's just down to the personality of the dog, whether they use that tactic to get attention or to raise their status. There's four different ways dogs will raise their status, and that's one of them, trophies.
Oh, come off it. I've got 3 minutes left, and now I need to know the other three. Do it quickly. Do it quickly. What are the other three?
The other three, one is food,
how they have
their food. And then the other one is hunt, so how they go for walks.
Yep.
Who's leading the walk. And the other one is danger. They have the message, who's protecting them when they think there's danger.
Love it. Quite, our little dog always has to walk in front, otherwise she gets well stroppy. Qualifications?
I'm a dog listener, advanced dog listener.
Fantastic.
So through Tony Knight and Jan Fennell, dog listener.
Love it. Round of applause for Michelle.
Thank you.
No, thank you. I haven't got time to ask you for some tips because I've got to go to Stuart in Ramsgate. Stuart, question or answer?
Answer, mate.
Carry on.
It's about the pigeon silly question.
It's not a silly question.
It is.
It's not.
But I can tell you that they are different heights, and they're different weights, and they're different sizes.
Yeah. Ha,
different
Willa.
Wingspans.
I told you. Her mum's been tweeting me all show. Apparently she's out in the garden now pointing at sparrows, saying, see, they're all the same size. But they're not the same size, are they? They're just so small that you can't see the differences in size. If you had five pigeons, there would be probably five different heights, Stuart.
I've got proof as well, mate, because when I used to race them, my mate Mark had a huge blue cock and I've only got a small little red one. So there you are, I have some of that. Ho, ho, ho.
For qualifications, don't tell me about your small little red one. Give him a round of applause, quickly.
That's all I got.
Thank you. Oh, I do love pigeon-related comedy. Pollyanna is in Amersham. Pollyanna, question or answer?
It's a partial answer to the question about recording music from the top 40.
Carry on.
So I'm afraid I can't tell you if anyone was ever prosecuted, but I can tell you that it was definitely illegal to do that because when I was a child, so my dad is a composer, and my mum was like an expert in music copyright.
Gosh.
And they were part of this campaign to try and get it legalised so that you were allowed to record music at home. And they even wrote a song about it.
Did they really? How did it go?
They did. And I remember it was on the news and everything.
How did it go?
Don't make me sing on the radio. I've got a chest infection.
No one knows what you sound like when you haven't got a chest infection. Have you not got? Give us a little. Okay. Give us a little burst.
I can remember it. It went, legalise home taping, just a few pence on a blank cassette.
Okay,
so the idea was
put a lot of work into the lyrics then for that song about legalising home taping, didn't they? They needed a slogan. Really, they should have had a slogan, something like, you know, I'm not going to come up with anything off the top of my head. I would have done about 2.5 hours ago, but I'm tired now. Well, it's a brilliant qualification. Legalise home tape. Round of applause for Pollyanna, please. It's probably just...
Thank you.
That's sensational. I've got to pick a winner. How am I going to pick a winner from that lot? I can't do the last fella, can I? He was flirting with an Ofcom complaint, really, with that little comment about his pigeons. I can't give it to... Going to give it to Emily, who answered about the misophonia question. And I may see if we can dig one out to send to Sherry's sister-in-law as well, but it depends if there's any left after the mad Christmas rush at mysteryhour.co.uk. That's it. Sorry, I'm very late today. Global Player podcast, App Store, Sheila Fogarty.